So welcome to session 3054. If your intention is not to go to Omaha, you should get off the plane now. This session is called Fostering Safe Communities, Mental Health and Wellness Among Youth, and it's sponsored by the Maternal and Child Health section and cross-endorsed by Mental Health and Peace Caucus. My name is Ken Rosenberg. I'm one of four presenters. What I'm going to do is I'm going to present people one at a time. We're going to have presentation, discussion, and then the next presentation, because there's some differences among the sessions, and if there's time at the end, we might see if there's some commonalities that we want to talk about. So I'm the first presenter. I'm the maternal and child health epidemiologist for the Oregon Public Health Division, and I'm also a faculty member at the Oregon Health and Sciences University in the Department of Preventive Medicine. Can everybody hear me? Okay. And I'm presenting some work for Sarah Romowski, who was not able to be here. The five of us, basically Sarah did this work with some support from the rest of us. The other co-authors are Bob Nystrom, who's the head of the Adolescent Health Section of the Public Health Division, Nigel Chalmerton, who works in Adolescent Health, and Julie Gilchrist from CDC. Here we go, this one. Okay, good. So none of us have any financial relationships to disclose. So the choking game is an activity in which persons strangulate themselves to achieve non-erotic euphoria through brief hypoxia. I'm going to leave that for a second just because I know for me that this was sort of a wildly different topic and took a while to sink in. And it's primarily an activity of middle school children. It can cause long-term disability and death, and in Oregon, our version of the Youth Risk Behavior Survey is called the Oregon Healthy Teen Survey, and we've asked about the choking game in our annual survey twice now. In 2010, we first reported on the results from the 2008 Oregon Healthy Teen Survey in an article in MMWR. At the time, we only had one question. It was lifetime prevalence among eighth graders. We'd asked them, had you ever? The prevalence was 5.7%. It was slightly higher among rural kids than among urban. Males and females were about the same. And the risk factors, there's handouts of my slides a little bit spread out here and at the back of the room. So if anybody wants one, you can find them. The risk factors associated with the choking game in that data was having a mental health risk and having a substance use issue. So these are the questions that were asked in the 2009 choking game survey. Next question refers to the choking game, also called knockout, space monkey, flatlining, and the fainting game. It's an activity that some youth participate in to get a high by cutting off blood and oxygen to the brain with a belt, towel, rope, or other item. Which of the following is true for you? Never heard of it, heard of someone participating, I've helped someone, I've participated. And the second, how many times in your life have you participated in the choking game? None, one, two, three, five, and more than five. So here's what we found. The lifetime prevalence in this cohort was slightly higher. I believe I said it was 5.9, the first 5.7 is now 6.1, and it's hard to know whether that's, I suspect that's more, the increase, even though it's small, is probably more due to the change in the question than it is to any change in prevalence. So it's 6.1% of Oregon eighth graders. For those of you, by the way, who are not familiar with YRBS, it's a stratified random sample of children in schools throughout the state. And Oregon's pretty fairly balanced between urban and rural. So there are no differences between males and females. Number of times participating, 93.9% had never participated. and 2.3% had participated more than two times. There were some differences between ethnic groups, some of them quite striking and some of them small, and differences by ethnic group. So the ones that were statistically significant were among blacks, males were more prevalent among males than females, and among Pacific Islanders was higher among females, but the prevalence among Pacific Islanders was clearly much higher than for any other group. Oh, sorry. Okay, so among males, black youth were more likely to participate than white youth. And among Pacific Islanders, males and females were more likely to participate than white youth. In regression analysis, the factors that were significantly associated were with participation in the choking game. Lifetime sexual activity, have you ever had sex? And substance use in the last 30 days, had you used alcohol, tobacco, and or marijuana? So the ever having participated in the choking game was associated with having had sexual intercourse. The odds ratio was about 3 for males and about 4 for females. Substance use for males, the increase association with substance use in the choking game was about 3.8 for males and about 2 for females. We also had some data on 11th graders, and the lifetime prevalences were only slightly higher for 11th graders than for 8th graders, which leads us to conclude that it is really more of an activity in among middle school kids. It seems to peak around 11th grade, around 8th grade rather. Among 8th graders who reported having participated in the choking game, 64% reported participating more than once, 27% reported more than 5 times. Prior research indicates that youths have a very limited understanding of the risks of the choking game. Health education messaging might decrease prevalence. Conclusions: 8th graders with sexual activity and or substance abuse should be screened for the choking game. The comprehensive adolescent well visit, as recommended by the American Academy of Pediatrics, is a good vehicle for providers to consider a risk assessment and prevention messaging about the potential dangers of this activity.